Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to NCMML Radio.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of NC MMA Radio. This is your host, Tyson Roush, and you can follow us on Twitter, NCMMA_radio, and we're also on Instagram, too, so check us out there and give us a follow. On today's show, we got a really special guest. He's Michael Chandler, a star in Bellator, who actually came out to New Jersey and trained with Frankie Edgar and those guys, did some sparring, so As a student, as a fan of his, to see him there with us training with Frankie Edgar, it was a true honor. So right now we'll bring him in. Michael, this is Tyson Roush. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. And as I mentioned previously, you know, about a month ago or so, you came in and you trained with Frankie Edgar and those guys as he prepared for his fight with Chad Mendez. What was that experience like from your perspective?
It was awesome, man. You know, obviously, if you're a wrestler thinking about going into MMA, you need to watch guys like Frankie Edgar and obviously Chad Mendez, and the list goes on and on and on. But I think when I was first thinking about getting into this sport, Frankie Edgar hadn't fought for the title yet. He was just about to fight for the title, I believe. And he was one of those guys that I looked at and I was like, I want to fight like that guy. I want to be like that guy. I want to hit like that guy. I want to move like that guy. I want to get, you know, be ferocious and have a great chin and get takedowns like that guy. And, you know, now 4 years later, you know, to be able to get the opportunity to go train with him and obviously Mark Henry and Edson Barboza and just the awesome team that they have up there in New Jersey was nothing short of amazing. It was cool. And, you know, obviously for a couple of years there, him and Eddie were training together, and me and Eddie had some history. So it was always like a, you know, not a friendly situation, I guess. But now that all we're removed from all that, now we are friends and able to train together, and I'd like to go back up there very soon.
Yeah, and like I said, as a student that trains there to watch you guys, it was like a pay-per-view event watching you and Frankie train. It's just it was a lot of fun to watch. I guess, Mike, you mentioned Eddie Alvarez, who, you know, he won a decision against Anthony Pettis this weekend. You know, as a guy that fought against him, were you surprised about his performance, or what were your thoughts on that fight?
You know, to be honest, I think I wasn't necessarily surprised. I think Eddie could have kept a higher pace. I mean, Maybe watching the fights, it seems a little bit slower, but I've, you know, obviously spending almost 50 minutes in the cage with him, he's usually able to keep his foot on the gas more. I don't know if it's because he focused a little bit more on wrestling this fight than he normally does or whatnot, but, you know, I would like to see him keep his foot on the gas a little bit more against an Anthony Pettis who was definitely underwhelming, definitely, you know, didn't get off those, you know, arsenal of strikes like he usually has. But, you know, My kind of perception of the fight was, you know, Eddie ground out the decision. I definitely thought Eddie won. I know Pettis wasn't happy with the decision, but the guy who loses a split decision rarely is, you know. So I think Eddie did enough to win for sure, and you know, got those takedowns and controlled the cage and landed just as much, if not more, of the strikes.
You know, I definitely agree with you. And I guess the interesting question here is, you know, in this day and age of social media and all these things going on, as an accomplished fighter, do you feel a lot of pressure to appease the fans and have an exciting fight? Or do you focus more on saying, I need to get this win, I want to keep, you know, I want to get another title shot, things like that?
You know, I think when I got into this sport, obviously, I mean, social media wasn't as big as it is now, you know, 4 or 5 years later. But I will say, you know, I think I'm an exciting fighter by default. You know, I don't necessarily go out there wanting to get into a slugfest or wanting to get into a war or want, or try to necessarily put on a great show for the fans. It just kind of happens. It's kind of in my nature. It was my same style I had with wrestling, and I carried it over into MMA. And, you know, thank God I'm an exciting fighter and people like to see me fight. But, you know, I think the older I get, the more I think about winning, and the more I think about winning dominantly as well as winning in a decisive way. You know, there's certain things that you can do in a fight to make sure the judges think that you have the upper hand, or make sure that the judges know that you have the upper hand. And obviously, you know, getting into a slugfest or getting into a war or letting a guy get in an advantageous position, even though a lot of times, you know, you do it and you're not worried about the position that they're in or anything like that, but to let the judges see that you're not in the most dominant position, you know, that kind of stuff weighs on their minds and it's can kind of sway them towards the other guy. So, you know, more than anything, focus on what's going to win. You know, the cage control, aggression, landing strikes, landing takedowns, and just be dominant all the way around and leave no question.
Yeah, no doubt. You've been in some legendary fights, so that's very well said. I guess you touched on the judging a little bit, and as you know, as aspiring fighters, young fighters, even fans of the sport, sometimes we're just boggled by the decisions where, you know, one guy is giving it 4 rounds to 1, where the other has it four rounds to 1 to the other fighter. Does that ever come to your mind when you're in the middle of a fight, say third round, something like that, where you're like, all right, when you talk to your coaches, like, what do I need to do? Do you focus on that at all, like maybe the judging work could be kind of, you know, a little, not biased, but kind of weird?
Yeah, I mean, it's so weird. It's so weird. There's so many fights and there's so many different judges, and you really don't know what they're looking for. And even if there's a manual that says, okay, all judges are supposed to look for this, you know, one guy's perception of this certain thing is different than the next guy's perception or the next woman's perception. And there's a lot of judges out there who have never fought. There's a lot of judges out there who took a test and said, okay, I know the rules, but they've never fought. They've never had, you know, that actual cage experience. So it's definitely different. It's definitely a little bit frustrating here and there. You got to go back to training as hard as you possibly can to be in the best shape that you possibly can. And then let your technique take over and hit more than you get hit and secure takedowns and just be in dominant positions. And it's different because you really never know, you know, you really, really never know. And a lot of times I think judges are like, the fight ends, that last whistle blows, and they're like, shoot, I don't know who won. They flip a coin and they give it to this guy or that girl, you know, and it's just, you just hope and pray because, you know, at the end of the day, your livelihood is on the line and your livelihood is in the hands of the judges. And to being a guy who's lost some split decisions that a lot of people thought I won, it's the worst thing in the world because, you know, you feel like you won, you feel like you did enough, and you go home with half a paycheck and a loss on your record.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate thing. And like you said, like there's fights, well, I agree with you where I thought you won as well. And it's like, you know, what people forget is like the purse that's behind it, you know, the winner's purse, all these different things that, you know, contractually go behind it, people don't remember. They kind of say, okay, that stinks, they go away, but the fighters deal with the aftermath of that, which it kind of sucks. I guess my other question, you're like, yeah, it does. My question is, well, I noticed when you were training with Frankie and training at NCMMA, you know, we all admired like your work ethic, your tenacity. You got a great pace, things like that. When you're training for a fight in your camp, like, are there certain things you focus on more than others? Is it like fighter specific, or is it just your overall game you try to work on?
The good thing, the best thing that you can be in, the best situation you can be in, is a situation like where Frankie is. He is within 45 minutes from his training all year round. You know, the best thing you can do is outside of training camps, go and work on your overall game, go and work on overall techniques and overall skills and overall strength and conditioning. And then once you get into that training camp, then it becomes more fighter specific. And obviously I've never seen a more in-depth, more caring coach in the entire world than Mark Henry. That guy is amazing. You know, I mean, when I got there that week, he showed me a piece of paper and he showed me the breakdown on Chad Mendez. And he said, he throws this, he throws that. He threw this many kicks. He threw this many punches in the Aldo fight. He threw this many this, this many that in the Nick Lentz fight. And I was just blown away at the amount of detail, you know? So they have a very, very fighter opponent specific training camp, and they got their own calls and their own stuff. And obviously I was there to mimic Mendez a little bit and, you know, do certain things that was going to get Frankie prepared for that fight. And, you know, that left hook that he knocked him out with was definitely something that he hit me with during that week. So, you know, hopefully I helped a little bit, even though, you know, Frankie knew and Chad knew. I'm friends with both of those guys, and Frankie called me to come up, and I said, heck yeah, man, I can't turn down an opportunity like that. And so that was one of the hardest fights for me to ever watch because I've been with Chad, friends with Chad for years, and obviously looked up to for Frankie or with Frankie or to Frankie since, you know, day one. So it was definitely a bittersweet fight. But it was great to have helped Frankie for that fight, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. And like I said, you know, we enjoyed just watching you guys train. It's just, you know, like I said, you know, a lot of students sitting around watching just like your technique, even like when you shadow box, things like that. It's just fun to watch all those kind of things. You've accomplished a lot. You're former champion. You've won two in a row. What are you looking to do as you go forward in terms of like your training and terms of fights?
Just get better. You know, I think I kind of alluded to being a veteran of the sport earlier, you know, and focusing on just getting better mentally and physically. You know, the more and longer I'm in this sport, the more I realize it's so much more mental than it is physical. You know, God has blessed me with an athletic body and good reflexes and strength and speed and that kind of stuff. And it's up to me to believe in that. It's up to me to wake up every morning believing that I deserve great things and I deserve to accomplish great things. And I do work hard. I feel like I work harder than most guys. And I feel like I live a clean lifestyle like a lot of guys don't. And I made the right decisions leading up to this point. And I married the right woman, the most supportive woman I could possibly have married. And I've taken all the right steps up to this point. So it's up to me to truly believe that I deserve to be the best. I deserve to be a champion of the sport. I deserve to be compensated well for my efforts. And I deserve to wear a belt around my waist, you know, and that's the goal, you know, be in big fights, fight the toughest opponents, get a belt back and just keep on getting people pumped up about life. Cause at the end of the day, you know, you look at a guy like Dominic Cruz who, thank God he's back and he's a champion, but you know, his career very well could have been over, you know, a year ago or after the second ACL or after the third ACL, and you can't take anything for granted. So the older I get, the more I really take this sport seriously, and I'm truly, truly blessed to be able to do what I do. So, you know, I'm just enjoying it every day, one day at a time, and I want to get better. I want people to watch me and get inspired and get motivated, and I want them to be wowed by my technique and how good I am, and that's just a testament to hard work and trying to do the right things.
No, and that's definitely an inspiring take. And you mentioned Dominic Cruz. I mean, Dominic Cruz offered some great quotes after the fight, and it wasn't about the belt. It was about just his achieving to where he got to, and it's just the perseverance of things like that, and that was inspiring as well. A question that a lot of fighters always get in our gym is, you know, how often do you spar? Like, you know, when people first started out, everybody wants to come in, they want to spar 4 days a week and do all these things. You know, as a veteran fighter, you know, do you spar 2 times a week, 4 times a week, or how often do you spar?
It's usually about, it's been different. You know, when I was at Alliance, it was always 2 days a week, big gloves, you know, meaning, you know, full power punches and kicks. And then I've trained down in Arizona at Power MMA, and we do one day a week, small gloves, one day a week, big gloves. So big glove day, obviously you're trying to take each other's head off, you know, in a teammate kind of way. Not obviously if someone goes down, you're not trying to finish them or anything, but you know, you're wearing 16-ounce glove and full protection so you can go hard. But the small glove days, it's more focused on the grappling, more focused on the cage control, more focused on that kind of stuff. So anymore, the older I get, I think one day of hard sparring for sure a week. And, you know, I don't think any more than 2 days a week should you be taking that kind of damage to your head. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I think we all have only a certain amount of sparring rounds in us and only a certain amount of wars in us until all of a sudden it gets a lot easier to get knocked out. So I think the more you preserve your brain, the more you preserve your chin, the better. And, you know, the more I'm in the sport, the more I see guys kind of throwing on the small gloves, throwing a mouthpiece, not wearing headgear, and kind of just moving around, throwing punches and kicks, not 100%, but almost like you're drilling, but it's drilling without a script. You know, you're reacting to things. You're seeing punches coming, which helps with your head movement, which helps with your blocking your punches. You're throwing more feints. You're throwing your punches, kicks, and knees and elbows, and landing combinations, and you're seeing them land. I think one of the big problems I had was I would hit mitts and I would do these kickboxing combinations. And I would never drill them after. And then I would go straight into sparring and I would try to hit those same things full speed and they wouldn't work. So then all of a sudden you lose that confidence in all those combinations that you had just worked on with the mitt. So I think drilling these days is actually a lot more important than sparring, you know, sparring 100% full speed is kind of my opinion.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That's something that, you know, we spoke to like Eddie Alvarez and Jimmy Hedges over the last couple of weeks. They said the same thing, actually. They're saying, you know what, you know, you want to sharpen your skill set, but at the same time, you don't want to enter a fight injured. You want to stay somewhat healthy and prepared and not all banged up and beat up. So they actually said the same thing.
A guy like Eddie, you know, and freaking, you cannot question that dude's heart. I mean, how many times have you seen the dude literally get dropped to his knees from a punch and then get back up, stay composed, and then end up finishing the fight or end up winning the fight? You know, I don't think the guy's actually been dropped since my fight with him back in 2011. You know, I could be wrong, but I mean, maybe he might have gotten hurt a little bit, but not actually dropped in these most recent fights. So it's, you know, that could be something where he kind of changed up his sparring and, you know, his chin's, you know, coming back a little bit more too, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely something fascinating to watch as fighters go forward. We're speaking with Michael Chandler. You can follow him on Twitter, at MikeChandlerMMA, and also check out his website where he's got a blog on there, some really cool stuff. It's MichaelChandler.com. Michael, the question I have for you is a question we've been asking a lot lately is, the big thing right now, especially in New Jersey, is with Frankie Edgar, is the politics of MMA, where we all think he deserved the title shot. Obviously, Conor McGregor went up a weight class, and he's fighting Dos Anjos and things like that. Has the politics of the sport become a little bit too much at this point, do you think? It seems like it's more prevalent in the UFC, but have you noticed that as a fighter?
You know, I mean, it is definitely more prevalent in the UFC, but the UFC has a lot more fights, a lot more fighters, and a lot more, you know, a lot more opportunities for politics, I guess. And, man, it was – trust me, yeah, I texted Frankie the other day to see if he was going to be in Boston, and, you know, we kind of went back and forth a little bit, and we obviously don't – neither of us have a fight set up, and we both kind of ended it with, well, let me know when you have a fight. And I told him, we both know what you should have next. He should definitely have that title shot against McGregor. And, you know, it seems like certain guys get, you know, get what they want, and certain guys kind of get put on the shelf. And obviously Frankie has been vocal about his lack of being vocal has been his downfall, you know, talking about how he doesn't talk enough, so he doesn't get the fights that will quote unquote sell, you know, because he doesn't talk enough. So unfortunately, it's not just about fighting these days anymore. I think it's about the show, it's about the smack talk, it's about the lead up to the fight. And you know, on one hand, I understand it because it's a business and it's show business, it's the entertainment business. But on the other hand, you look at a guy like Frankie Edgar, who is at his best, who has beaten every single person in the division, besides Jose Aldo, I guess. And you just you feel for him, and it does stink, but it's also just part of it. You also have to look at it from the positive perspective of the sport is getting so big that politics are actually involved more. You know, back in the day, it was Chuck Liddell and Randy Couture and a couple other guys, and that's it. And now it's, you know, literally 50 or 60 different big-time stars that everyone's trying to kind of make fights with. So it's different, and it's a bad thing, but it's a double-edged sword, and it's a good thing, and you just got to roll with it, I guess. But this is also me. You know, if I was in Frankie's position, I'd be just as ticked.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's like you said, it's sad in a way because, you know, it's like he's putting the work in. Like you put the work in. Like you see fighters that are they're climbing the ladder. They're putting all the work in. They're doing all the right things. It shouldn't have to come down to talking trash to get a fight. It should just be like, listen, you climb the ranks, you get it. And it's just like everybody, all the diehard fans agree. But then it's like, you know, it just doesn't work out. So it's frustrating on many levels for a variety of fighters, not just Frankie. I guess my last question for you is this, and, you know, thank you for your time, first of all, is, you know, do you have a message for young and aspiring fighters? You know, like, you do a lot of great things. You know, you're very active. You're very positive. You have a great blog on your website. Do you have a message for all the young fighters out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest messages you know, but obviously believe in yourself. And if you have already started fighting and you don't have a wrestling background, get your butt in a wrestling club. Go to every single wrestling class at your gym. Go to your local high school. Go get a good relationship with those guys so you can wrestle with those high schoolers. Go to your local community college, your local even university if they'll let you, you know, walk in and work out with those wrestlers. I'm telling you right now, if you look at, you know, the direction of Anthony Pettis' career, you know, he lost his last two fights based on wrestling, right? And it doesn't matter if you can jump off the cage, do a backflip, and kick a guy, you know, right in the mouth. if somebody wants to go out there and pick you up and put you down and beat you up and control you, the wrestling wins fights, and lack of wrestling loses fights. And obviously I'm biased, completely biased, because I have a high school and college wrestling background. So wrestled at the University of Missouri, Division I, the highest level you can possibly wrestle at. And within those four walls at the University of Missouri, the hours and hours and hours I spent literally tormenting myself has made me into the man I am today. It's made me humble and kind of having those humble roots and realizing that hard work and trying to be a good person will get you really, really far in this life. And if you're in, you know, high school, middle school, get in the wrestling room, join the wrestling team. If you plan on fighting someday, you're going to have a really, really tough go at it if you don't have good wrestling. And not just the technique of it, but like I said, the mental aspect of it, and the man and or woman, the competitor that it's going to make you. So get in the wrestling room, believe in yourself, and try to operate with integrity, and good thing will happen.
Michael, I mean that's just awesome. First of all, I want to thank you for your time, and you know, and thank you for being so nice to all the students at NCMMA. When you came in, you were very friendly, talked to all of us, and it was just an honor to watch you train. So I want to thank you for that, and thank you for your time today as well.
Of course, man. Thank you. That's what it's all about, man. If it wasn't for, you know, the amazing people in the media, as well as the awesome fan support, we'd be a bunch of fighters fighting in a basement somewhere with no money and, you know, just fighting for the glory, I guess. So it's you guys and the fans have made this sport into what it is today. So I love those kind of interactions, and it's awesome to be a part of this sport of MMA, and I appreciate every fan and you know, guys like yourself giving me an opportunity to be put on a platform. So thank you.
Michael, thank you very much for your time. Best of luck in the future, and hopefully I get to talk to you again.
You got it, man. I'll see you.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
All right, once again, that was Michael Chandler, a star in Bellator. You can follow him on Twitter, at MikeChandlerMMA. MichaelChandler.com is his website where he has a blog. He has some a clothing line as well, and man, he shared a lot of great information there, from the, you know, the coaching of Mark Henry while he was here, to the how he looked up to Frankie Edgar, and just to his own training and his beliefs and things like that. So a very, very positive guy, a very talented guy who can make some waves again, once again, in Bellator. So I want to thank him for his time. And once again, you can follow us on Twitter. We're NCMMA_radio. We're also on Instagram, so give us a follow there. And until then, we'll talk to you again next week. Damn sure the pilot washed his hands.